Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
Hey, once again, it is great to have you in church. Happy New Year and Happy New Decade. Happy New Decade. Isn't that a scary thought? I think it's an amazing opportunity that we have at the start of this new decade to gather together and worship our great God. And as I was looking at this summer series that we're going through, and I'm kind of like, my daughters have very, very much remind me that this is a 1 hour service. So, there's no pressure there. I've got 23 minutes to get through this. I'm actually genuinely excited. You know, sometimes you kind of start a year and you kind of like feel as though you've got to get kind of like all pumped up and motivated. But like, I'm just so grateful for what God has been doing in the life of our church, that this coming year and the next couple of years and into this decade, God's going to do things this year that are going to put things into place for us as a church that are going to significantly impact the decade that's to come. And I don't say that lightly. So, you know, one of the things that I'm really excited about this year is that I know that God is calling us as a church to move into a place and space of uncomfortability, to be more uncomfortable than we've ever been when it comes to our personal faith, than we've ever been in our lives ever before. So I don't know about you, but often you find yourself, you do something new, you try something new, you step into it and it's uncomfortable, it's uneasy, but then you realize, oh no, actually, with God's help, I can do this. And you come through it and you see God come through and stuff happens, and that uncomfortability then becomes comfortable. And I think for some of us, myself included, I'm pointing at myself here this morning. I think kind of we've stepped out in particular ways and areas as of a church, and it was uncomfortable, but now it's comfortable, and I don't like that. I'm not a guy that likes maintenance. I don't like things, the status quo. I believe that we have a God that wants to do new things. I believe no eye has seen and no ear has heard what God's got in store for those who love Him, and we're a church that loves Him. And so the areas of comfortability in our life are only but by the grace of God, and I thank Him for that, but He doesn't want us to stay there. And so in all of our lives, there's going to be things over this next couple of years in regards to the strategic plan of us heading towards our 2025 vision fulfillment, that it's going to require all of us together to step into a space of uncomfortability. And then there's going to be other things that we do in the rollout of our strategic plan that will involve smaller groups of people as we try to do certain things better. But I'm excited that this year and in the coming years, we're going to be very uncomfortable. It's going to be like, I feel really awkward. I feel like this is, I'm doing stuff that I haven't, or I've been scared to do before. Who knows that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear? And for some of us that have been too quiet for too long, we shared our faith to a degree. But guess what? This year and the next decade, we're going to actually share our faith in a bolder, more courageous way than we ever have before. I believe that because you shall receive power from on high to be my witnesses. Not just to Shunda Baba, she wrote on my Honda, and I believe in speaking in tongues, don't get me wrong. But I believe that one of the primary purposes the Holy Ghost was poured out and has been poured out and is still available to the church is to motivate and to give us the courage and the strength, the words, the timing, the sense in a conversation, phone call, email, text, in a conversation wherever we might be, to give us the courage to tell people and to see people led to Christ. Some of us in this room, we've never had the privilege of leading somebody to Christ. And so this year is going to be the start of a decade of soul winning for you. And the souls that you kind of see come to Christ are going to get radically saved. And those people are then going to become disciples who then go on and actually win souls. So in a decade's time, I don't know if you are on Facebook and whatever, but you know, one of the things that Facebook does is they send you Facebook memories. And so Facebook will send you like pictures of what happened over the last year. Oh, here's a nice little album of reflecting on the last year, 5 years. I got one yesterday that was the last 7 years. And there were photos in there that I'd totally forgotten about. But hey, we're in 2020, but let's just jump to 2030 at the end of this decade. What photos would Facebook memories send us as a church telling us of what's transpired in the last decade? What kind of things are we going to see? In my mind's eye, and I believe God's given us a clear picture of what He's called us to see, but what are you going to see as a family unit? What are you going to see as an individual that God has done in your life over this coming decade if Facebook memories was going to send you a bunch of photos? There's stuff that I see in my own eye for some of you in this room of just what God has done. God is not done with you yet. For some of you, you've seen God do some mighty powerful things. You've seen him move in significant ways, and you've seen God kind of act on your behalf and challenge you and stir you to step out. The greatest things that you have seen in your life in this last decade will be the worst of the decade to come. Did you hear what I said? And if you want to receive that, you take that. Okay, three people want to receive that. The rest of you are kind of like, you know, what you're just thinking, it's all going to downhill from here. You know, one of the things about Facebook memories is sometimes people screenshot those. And then they post that to go, oh, gee, how good is it? But, and I know you can't get the intent or the motive behind the message sometimes. I get that. But sometimes I read those messages when people screenshot a particular photo or memory and repost it. And it's almost like that they're just saying, oh, look at the good old days. Oh, how good was that? And do you remember when then they tag people in who were there with them and go, oh, how good was that? And gee, I wish we could do that again. And I'm grateful for my past, but I don't believe God's done with me or you yet or us as a church yet. And so as I was thinking about this summer series and I was looking at it and I was prompted and I was led to the promises of God in particular areas of our life, which we're going to look at over the next 3 weeks. I was kind of like struck by that and I was excited by that because I believe strongly that over the coming 12 months and throughout this decade, for those who take the mandate, the Great Commission and the Great Commandment seriously, that we're going to have to hold on to the promises of God more than we ever have before. And so as I thought about that, I'm getting excited and I'm looking at the promises of God, how they relate to us in different aspects of life. Then it struck me that there's probably like a precursor for us to be able to hold on to and believe the promises of God. We have to actually understand something about he who made the promises. Because I don't know about you, when sometimes people make a promise and so they promise to do something, maybe the thought crosses your mind. Have they got the ability, the capability, the capacity to fulfill that promise? And because we all know what happens when people break a promise, it brings hurt. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, and we kind of like maybe get our hopes up around something and it doesn't come to pass. So when it comes to the promises, which there are hundreds, if not thousands, depending on which commentary that you actually read, there are thousands of promises in God's word that relate to our life that we can hold on to. So the question out of what I've just said would be is, who made those promises, and is he able to fulfill those promises? Before we look at the promises, I want us to leave this place this morning actually kind of being reminded and getting a fresh revelation about the one who made the promises and that he's able to fulfill his promises. And I believe this is an area that we have to continue to grow in over this coming year and coming decade, that he who promises is powerful and he has the authority to fulfill those promises. And I'm grateful for the past. I mean, if it wasn't for God, we wouldn't be in this incredible space. We wouldn't be looking at kind of like we've been able to get more space behind this wall that we're in the process of fitting out and all that kind of stuff. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we wouldn't have anything that we've got. But it's not about just sort of like just celebrating the past and thinking, well, the best is gone and this is just it. You know, the Apostle Paul writes to the Philippians on this matter in a sense. And we can learn from it this morning. He says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14, he says, this is the guru, the Apostle Paul, and we know what he accomplished. We also know what he went through, but we know what he accomplished. He says, not that I've already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal. Has anyone in this room, do you believe that you've arrived? Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. No one put your hand up. Thank you. Because we'd be having a serious conversation. It's called a Messiah complex. But, you know, like none of us have arrived. There's still much more that God has for us. And Paul is reminding us that. He goes, I haven't arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Did you know that when you accept Christ and you ask him to come into your life and he fills you with his spirit and the very same spirit that raised Christ that is living in you and you're in relationship with God through what Christ did through his death, burial and resurrection upon the cross, we know that something significant happens, that we become a new creation, that kind of life begins to change, that God grabs a hold of our lives, not just play games with our lives, but he's got a plan, he's got a purpose. He wants to transform and mold us into the best version of us that we were created to be. And more often than not, it's not just about us. It's about the others and it's about the people that we engage with. So Paul acknowledges that Christ took hold of him for a purpose, like he's taken hold of you and me for a purpose. And then he goes on, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But here he says, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Church, God is calling us forward. He's calling us forward. We celebrate all that he's done and the great things that he has done, but we are looking forward to the things that God is calling us into. And we can't do that in our own strength. We can't do that in our own ability. 2 Peter 1:3 says, for his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. So this struggle of life, this struggle of trying to walk as a Christian, to walk in obedience, he's given us everything we need through his divine power. And how we interact, how that divine power works in and through our lives is up to how much we choose to engage, interact with that divine power, his Holy Spirit. That's our choice. R.A. Torrey, the phenomenal preacher, author, theologian, if you like, he said this about this point. Believers obtain the fullness of the power that God has provided for us in Christ. So God's provided that fullness of power in Christ. How? To the same extent that we understand and claim the Holy Spirit's work for ourselves. No one can do that for you. No one can live out your destiny for you. No one can actually be hungry or passionate for the things of God or for more of his Spirit and power to be operating in your life. That's your choice. That's my choice. To put it another way, he says, how much of the power of God we experience and operate in and under is proportional to how much we understand, how much we hunger, desire to know, seek after, grasp, get a revelation of that power. And so for us to hold on to the promises of God, there's an element of the nature of God that I want to just touch on this morning in the time that I've got left. Because when we go into the promises, I want us to have a full conviction of he that made the promise is able to fulfill the promise. And that power is available to us. And so this morning, I want us to actually just get a fresh revelation of the greatness of our God. The theological term for that is omnipotence. It's the omnipotence of God. And before you switch off and you just go, well, I've heard about the power of God and things like that, I believe this message is for everyone in this room. Everyone in this room, regardless of how long you've been a Christian or if this God thing's new to you, it's relevant to everyone in this room. Why? Because our city is not in revival yet. That you still, like me, have family members that don't know Jesus yet. That I've got people who are sick. I've got people who are in wheelchairs. I've got people who are battling with cancer. I've got people, and those things aren't being kind of dealt with in the name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Ghost yet. To the measure, I believe, that God wants to see his power flow through the life of his church. So we're not seeing the salvations, we're not seeing the miracles, we're not seeing the signs and wonders. We're seeing a glimpse of those through the life of this church, which I give God all glory for. But I believe that God has more. I believe that God wants more of that. So we need more of his power in the life of this church. We need more of his power in and through our own lives when we go to work tomorrow, unless we're on holidays. See, for me, how great God is to you is probably being shaped by the experiences that you have had. Because for some of us in the room, we would say that God has become smaller, if you were to be honest with yourself. God's become smaller in your life because something happened or hasn't happened yet. Either you're waiting or something happened. And I'm not minimizing or belittling any kind of traumatic experiences or abuse in any way, shape, or form. And I think for some of you in this room, I want to thank you for just even being in a church. For some of you, you have justifiably got reasons for why you would never want to actually come to a church or engage with a Christian community again. And I applaud you for actually still being here. And I don't want to minimize any of those hurts, but our circumstances can sometimes diminish who God really is because of our own experiences. But I just want to just throw this out there this morning, not minimizing anything that you've gone through. But God only becomes smaller in your heart or mind. It doesn't change the fact that he is still the omnipotent, all-powerful, almighty God. See, your view or understanding of him doesn't change who he is. And so I pray this morning that you would just allow the Holy Spirit Something that only he can do. I can't do it. Only the Holy Spirit can do this, is to come and actually breathe just fresh life into you this morning. Just to bring and breathe fresh faith into your heart. Maybe your heart, we know that fire can do so much constructive, but it's also doing so much destructive at the moment. But when somebody's heart is set on fire for Jesus, it can bring so much good out in society. And so maybe this morning it's just a coal, it's just an ember, and you're sitting here and I just ask that you would just allow maybe just for a minute the hardness or the walls or whatever it is, or get past your pride, your arrogance, that every single one of us in this room this morning need the Holy Spirit to come in and just breathe fresh revelation about the greatness of our God as we go into a new year. Because when you get a fresh revelation of the greatness of God, your situation will look different. So you can leave this place this morning facing the same situation, but you're not going to face it in the same way because you get a fresh revelation of the bigness and the greatness of who God is. So I don't care how long you've been a Christian, we all need to hear this morning, because at the end of the day, it's your choice. You see, the hurts that I've been through, and I can sit and whinge and moan and sit in the victim's chair as long as I want. I've probably got stories that match yours, if not better than yours. And I can sit in the victim's chair and, oh, woe is me, and those people that have hurt me have just moved on. They don't give me a second thought. I've just got to forgive and bless them. And every time I think about them, apart from wanting to punch them in the face, I bless them in Jesus' name. Don't get all self-righteous on me. I've been driving around the last couple of weeks and my daughters are going, Dad, you okay? I go, no. Sometimes it sucks to be a Christian. So I just want to smash that bloke. And April said, Dad, would you really, like, if you weren't the God guy... I go, oh, hell yes, I'd smash him. He's a moron. But no, bloke came up to my, I won't tell you, anyway. And all my only response was, as I sat there holding the steering wheel really tight, and he'd done something really dumb, and he comes up to my window, and I just looked at him, and he kind of struts up, and then he looks in the window and goes, oh, right. And I'm sitting there, I'm going, for the Holy Spirit to help me right now. And I just look at him and I go, mate, you're just lucky I'm a nice guy. That's all I'm going to say to you. It's best you walk away. You're just lucky I'm a nice guy. Doesn't it suck to be a Christian sometimes? I shouldn't say that. We can delete that out of the podcast. But it's my choice. I mean, some of us, again, not minimizing your abuse. I heard Glenn Berteau preach this years ago at a youth conference. He says, get out of the victim's chair. You're not helping anyone, and especially not yourself, sitting in the victim's chair. It's your choice. So would you just allow the Holy Spirit to come? So getting into this, because, wow, I've got 4 minutes. Okay. Just quickly about the greatness of God. In theology, when we talk about the nature of God, we refer to two aspects of trying to explain or describe who God is. One is his essence or his substance, and out of that essence or substance, his attributes operate. And we get to experience, I guess, God, how God works out of his essence or substance. So when I talk about his essence or substance, I'm talking about that God is spirit, that is, he's self-existent. He's not dependent upon anything or anyone. He's self-existent, that he is immense. He operates outside of space. He's eternal. He operates outside of time. So that's the essence or the substance of God. Then if we look at the attributes of God, which there are many, but just to give you an idea of what I'm talking about, we talk about the omniscience of God, that he is all-knowing. He knows everything. He knows what you're thinking right now, and he still loves you. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. The one I quickly want to touch on is that he is omnipotent, that he is all-powerful. He is all-powerful. This word omnipotent is not used in Scripture, but I'll explain how it came about. But it comes from the Latin word omnis, which means all, and also potens, which means powerful. You put those together, which means he's all-powerful. The Hebrew within the Old Testament, the Hebrew word ascribed to God, is one of the words is El Shaddai, meaning God most powerful, or God Almighty. God Almighty is how he is often referenced in Scripture, which is where we get this idea of omnipotent, all-powerful. Now, if you don't take anything else, just take this home this morning, is that the God that we believe in, the God of the Bible, the God that we believe in is all-powerful. Let me get really deep theologically right now. Do you know what all-powerful means? All-powerful. All-powerful. Thank you. We've got some smart people in this church. How good is that? That your God is all-powerful. There is no other power. There is no other force in nature. There is no other force or power in the spiritual realm that is greater or more powerful than our God. Think about that for a minute. There is no other small g God that has been a fabrication, an imagination created by man. There is nothing that man has sculpted or made out of created substance to become an idol or fashioned or shape or form that people choose to worship. There is nothing that God created in nature that man has elevated to a state of being small g God that is more powerful than the creator, that is more powerful than the God that we believe in. He has power and authority over all of those things, even demons tremble and shudder at the name of Jesus. We believe that Jesus is God. He was God in the flesh. He walked on the planet and demonstrated the power I'm talking about over nature, over sin, over sickness, over temptation, over death, over hell. There is nothing that our God cannot do. Jeremiah tells us that, O our Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. Jesus is talking to the disciples and he's saying, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. See, this is your God. You see, if we're going to talk about the promises, can he deliver? Yes, he can. Bob the Builder, yes. Yes, he can. He can build it. He can fulfill it. He can do the whole shebang. He's God. How amazing is that? I've got to wrap this up. There's more that I could say. But I want us to know the God we believe in isn't just another one that we can actually put on the mantelpiece just to make sure we're covering all our bases. People do that. I'm not disrespecting that, but I'm just making the statement here this morning, according to God's word, that he is El Shaddai, the all-powerful God. You see, it's up to you whether you choose to believe that. It can't be half true. He didn't half deal with sin. He didn't half die. He didn't half rise from the dead. He didn't half do these things. God did it in totality because he's the only one that's got the authority and the power to do all of those things. He is all powerful. So when you think about your situation right now, whether it's the success that you're trying to juggle and manage and kind of keep that momentum going, which is a good problem to have, but there are problems in that season as much as there are problems in the difficulties and the hardships and the pains and the struggles. So regardless on what end of the spectrum of so-called worldly success that you're on, when you put that in comparison or you line it up to the greatness and the bigness of our God, those things begin to look kind of like smaller and smaller as far as problems go. And that's why we kind of like, we sing that amazing hymn, you know, like we look full into your wonderful face and the things of this world grow strangely dim. When we get a fresh revelation this morning, church, of the bigness, the greatness of our God. So let me just ask you that question. How great is your God? We've sung about it, but I'm asking you personally, how great is your God? Because I believe that the God I believe in is calling us to see our city in revival. With man, that looks impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And I'm asking you to join with us this year to come on a journey that's going to make you so beautifully, wonderfully, excitingly, scaringly, challengingly uncomfortable. To just go, wow, I'm living out my faith in a way that I never have before. Because our God is going to back that 100%. Because I believe it's in alignment with his word. So this morning, how great is your God? I'm going to ask the band to come up. And I just want to say thank you to Ornello and Brett, because Brett's trying to follow me on the PowerPoint this morning and it's just all over the shop. So thanks, mate. I appreciate you doing your best with me going off script, which happens often. But how great is your God? And I just want us to start this year by just declaring the greatness of God. That Jesus Christ is Lord over your life, over your family if you have one, over your studies, over your work, over your health, over your finances, over every area of your life. But we're going to declare that Jesus Christ is Lord over this church. Compass Church is his church. And we believe in the all-powerful God that nothing is impossible for him. I'm believing with you and for you that you're going to see those family members here worshiping this year. If not here in a good Bible-believing church, somewhere that we can get them planted into. That we're going to see people coming out here, wheelchairs or crutches, and they leave them behind. Come on, church, come on. Seriously, life is too short. What's the point of playing church? What's the point of being comfortable? If you want to be comfortable, I've got a list of churches you can go to. This ain't one of them. Like, I'm not directing this at you. I'm saying this to me. I'm going to be accountable in this. I'm already thinking about the things God's calling me to do that I've never done before, in terms of living out my faith and sharing my faith to see souls saved and disciples made. Hey, will you stand with me this morning? We're going to sing this. And let me just say, this service is now, it's 11:01. Yes, so close. Can't wait to tell my daughters. They're working this morning, but the service is closed. If you need to go, it's been great having you in church with us this morning. And thank you. If you're visiting with us, thank you. And feel free to grab a coffee on us or chat to somebody at the pull-up banner. But we're just going to take some time now just to consecrate this year before the Lord, declaring His greatness. And can I just say, if you're going through a hard time, if you've been, something hasn't come to pass in your life yet, can I ask you, just bring it before the Lord. He's not afraid to hear you. Bring that and lay that down at His feet. And I believe this morning He's going to speak into those situations. He's going to speak a word. He's just going to breathe fresh hope or fresh peace or fresh strength that you need to continue on. I believe that. Father, this morning I just pray Your blessing over Your people. We just want to honor You, and we just unashamedly declare this morning that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And we just thank You for the privilege and honor of knowing You and serving You, to be called Your son, Your daughter. So this year, we declare the greatness of God over and into Compass Church. Let it all be done for the glory and honor of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.